This is Back to the Bible with your host, Steve Weiss. God is good. God is kind. God is merciful and full of grace. God is also righteous. The righteousness of God is not established by man's tradition, nor is it determined by what men may believe. In order to be right with God, a person must follow God's written word. Consider for a moment Abraham, the father of the faithful. He grew up in a land of idol worship. In Ur of the Chaldees, there were archaeological digs that have uncovered temple ruins that were dedicated to the moon god called Sin. Abraham's family's religious traditions most likely followed the traditions of the people of the land. Joshua made mention of these pagan gods in Joshua 24 and verse 15. But God called Abraham away from that land and away from the traditions of his ancestors in order to follow after him. James wrote, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." That's James 2, verse 23. Abraham trusted God more than he trusted the traditions of his relatives and ancestors. There was a man who operated a butcher shop, the story goes. For all his adult years, this man was a very honest man who always wanted to do a little bit more for his customers. He would trim more fat off the meat than was required. He would give food to the poor widows, and he never wanted to cheat anyone for any reason. When the man passed away, he left the butcher shop to his son. As the son began operating the business, he discovered that the old scales his father had used for many, many years had been off by 20%. His father had been shorting his customers of 20% of their meat for all these years. But the son was perplexed. He knew that his father was an honest man who would not knowingly cheat his customers, but if he changed the scales to accurately weigh the meat, then he would be admitting that his father was wrong and that he had shorted his customers. But if he did not change the scales, then he would be cheating his customers. About 260 years before Christ was born, there was a man named Socheus, who was the president of the Sanhedrin Council. He taught that a person ought to serve God without the expectation of receiving any reward. Socheus also taught that they should reject the traditional teachings of the uninspired rabbis and follow only what was written in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. It was the Pharisees who taught that all the true believers in God should accept and follow the traditional teachings of the rabbis. One of Socheus' students, named Sadoc, perverted his teacher's teaching to say that there was no reward. He developed the Sadducees' doctrine that man's soul perished with the body. He taught that there would be no resurrection of the dead. Therefore, there would be no future reward or punishment. Sadoc's followers became known as the Sadducees. In Matthew 22, verse 23 through 33, the religious leaders of the Jews, the Sadducees, came to Jesus to test him. Because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead, they wanted to demonstrate their doctrine as being true. Therefore, they told a scenario to Jesus that they thought would stump even the wisest man who believed and taught the doctrine of the resurrection. Their argument was made from a situation where a man married a wife, but before any children were conceived, the man died. His brother took her to raise up children in accordance with the law of Moses. But before any children were conceived, he also died. This was repeated for a total of 7 brothers. Eventually, the wife also died. After telling this, they asked Jesus, "In the resurrection, whose wife of the 7 will she be?" For they all had her. Jesus told them that they were mistaken. The things that they had been taught by their parents and teachers had been wrong, and they needed to change. Jesus did not only tell them that they were wrong, he told them why they were wrong and where they had misinterpreted the scriptures. Jesus said to them that they did not know the scriptures. Now these men were very religious. They read the Old Testament. They worshiped God. They rejected the traditions. Yet they themselves had perverted or ignored the teaching of scripture in order to hold on to their own traditions and doctrines. Jesus then answered their argument by saying, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." That's in verse number 30. Now, Jesus is about to give them a lesson in the importance of God's Word as it applies to man's belief. In verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, "But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Jesus quotes Moses from Exodus 3, verse 6 and verse 15. When Moses wrote those words, Jacob had been dead for about 198 years, Isaac for about 224 years, and Abraham had been dead for about 329 years. Yet God spoke in the present tense. Although they had ceased living on this earth, God was still their God. Now the Sadducees certainly were not willing to say that maybe Moses had written it down wrong, or that perhaps God had misstated this sentence. That reminds me of a conversation I had with a preacher in a denomination that promotes the use of women preachers in the worship services. He tried to explain why he believed that women ought to be allowed to preach in the assemblies of the church. While I was advocating what the Bible taught about the role of men and women in the worship assemblies of the church. As he tried to defend his position, he never once opened his Bible, but I shared with him verses like 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 13, as well as other verses. After about a 45-minute discussion and examination of the Scriptures, he finally said, "Well, maybe Paul made a mistake." Friends, I was taken aback. I had not expected a man who claimed to be a preacher of God's Word to come out and admit that God's Word may have mistakes. But you know, it wasn't Paul who made the mistake. It was this man who had been taught the doctrines and traditions of men and had turned away from the teaching of God. The Bible is right. When Jesus was explaining to them why they were wrong, he asked them, "Have you not read what was spoken to you by God?" Friends, he was reminding them about the things that were spoken by God himself. Now, those things had been spoken about 1,400 years before, but they still were just as strong. Jesus understood perfectly that just as those words had been true all those centuries ago, they were still true in his day. Friends, they're still true today. As a matter of fact, Jesus' argument stands or falls on the everlasting truthfulness of not only the words themselves, but also of the very tense of those words. We know that this is true because Jesus then draws the conclusion, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Friends, that is still true today. But Jesus' words did not change the hearts of the Sadducees, generally speaking. In Acts 23, in verse number 8, when Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin council, the Sadducees were still teaching that there was no resurrection of the dead. In the book of Acts, there are many examples of people hearing the Word of God preached by the apostles and other preachers. In Acts 2:41, there were about 3,000 souls who gladly received the Word of God and were baptized. In Acts 8, as Philip preached in the city of Samaria, both men and women believed and were baptized. But we also see men like Felix who heard the Word of God, but it just wasn't a convenient time for him to follow. Friends, isn't that true today? Or perhaps we're not ready to follow. Instead of saying it's not a convenient time, we just say, well, it's different now. Or my circumstances are different. It's not the same. And so those things do not apply to me. We can find many excuses for trying to get away from the Word of God or trying to go around the Word of God. But friends, on the day of judgment, it is the Word of God by which we will be judged. It is not by our opinions, not by our justifications, not by the traditions of men. It is not by the things which we have been taught from men. But it will be by the Word of God. You remember King Agrippa? He told Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Friends, you know that almost is not good enough. In other places, they tried to kill Paul for the preaching of the truth of God. You and I, we need to listen to the Word of God and not allow ourselves to become angry, not allow ourselves to seek reasons for not applying the Word of God to ourselves. But we need to be the people who hear the Word of God and do it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 down through verse 27, Jesus taught about two different men. One of those men had built a house, and he built it upon the sand, and when the rains came and the winds blew, that house fell. And he says that this was because this was a man who heard the word of God, but he did not do the word of God. But the other man built his house upon the rock, and when the rains came and the winds blew, that house stood firm. Well, this was the man, of course, who heard the word of God and obeyed. He did what God said for him to do. He didn't become angry. He didn't look for ways to get around it, but he followed it as it is indeed the truth of God. After Paul had preached the gospel in the city of Athens, we read these words. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Demarius, and others with them. That's in Acts 17, verse 32 through 34. Should that son of the butcher change the scales? Should the Sadducees have changed their beliefs? What about you? When you read Matthew 16, verse 18, where Jesus promised to build his church, notice that word church is singular, and that church is not to be divided in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, and how that church is only one body, Ephesians 4 and verse number 4, does this cause you to become upset, or does it cause you to want to change and be what the Scriptures call you to be? In Acts 26 and verse number 28, Agrippa said to Paul again, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." Paul did not want him to be some different kind of Christian, only a Christian. Friends, when you take only the Bible without adding to it or taking away from it, then it will make only Christians. In order to be some different kind of Christian, you must go beyond what is written in the Scriptures and follow after the traditions and doctrines of men. Let us go back to the Bible for all of our beliefs and practices in the name of God. By doing so, you will be pleasing to God, and God, in turn, will bless your life. There's an old saying, call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways. Friends, you and I, we need to go back to the Bible. Thank you for listening today. Join us again next time for another helping of God's spiritual food as we go back to the Bible.